I'm very happy now to welcome Chris Morris. He is an experimental nuclear physicist and laboratory fellow at Los Alamos National Laboratories. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Oh, thank you very much.
So let's just start with the first word, radiography. What does that mean?
Well, radiography is this thing that was invented by Rankin in 1895. And it's the idea of using rays, and the rays he used were X-rays, to look through things and make pictures of what's inside of opaque objects. And so that's when the field was invented, and it's a kind of remarkable story.
And so it turns out that there's all kinds of rays that you can use to see through things.
Oh, yeah. You can use X-rays. And in my talk, I'm gonna talk about how Rankin got started. I'm going to try and show his original experiment with no X-rays, or only very, very low energy X-rays, but how he came about to discover X-rays. When he did that, he kind of started this whole field that I'm in of nuclear physics. I mean, he didn't use nuclei, but then Becquerel and Pierre and Marie Curie found out that nuclei were radioactive and emitted rays, and radiation is a word that Marie Curie invented, and it's those the kind of rays they invented that they discovered that we use for radiography in Los Alamos. And so I'm going to try and tell that original story and then show how what we are doing is related to that.
So you have been working at Los Alamos for many years, and the work that you were doing, what, a couple of decades ago, has led to what you're doing now in a way that was perhaps unexpected.
Yeah, kind of exactly. I mean, that's true. When I first came to Los Alamos, I came to work at a facility called the Los Alamos Mason Physics Facility. And the idea of the Los Alamos Mason Physics Facility, it was started by a man by the name of Louis Rosen. And he wanted to inject some intellectual vitality into the lab by having basic research. The lab had become focused on its weapons mission, and Louis' thought was it was becoming kind of stagnant. So he built an accelerator, which was a world-leading accelerator. It was the most powerful accelerator beam in the world at the time it was built, and it was used to make pi mesons. And so
to make what?
Pi mesons. So those are the, you know, if you have atoms, and you bind them together to make materials, and it's electrons that get exchanged between atoms that causes them to stick together.
Right.
Well, inside the nucleus, which is inside of every atom, these pi mesons get exchanged between the neutrons and the protons that make up the nucleus and hold the nucleus together.
What are they? Are they particles? Are they energies?
Well, inside a nucleus, they're virtual particles, and what the beams in Los Alamos were used for is to slam a proton into an atomic nucleus and split it apart and make those into real particles. So pi mesons are particles. They're responsible for binding the nucleus together. If you make them real particles, they have a lifetime, and their lifetime is 26 billionths of a second.
Oh, my goodness.
But so in Los Alamos, we actually made beams of these, and we scattered these beams off of other nuclei to study the structure of those nuclei. And so in doing that, we used magnetic lenses to bend these beams and magnets to focus the beams.
Now, was there at that time a weapons application that people had in mind for this work, or was it really what you call pure research, or what?
It was pure research. It was weapons applications were probably the furthest things from anybody's minds who worked at LAMF. In fact, LAMF was somewhat separated from the rest of the lab in this regard. People would come there and they would do experiments. A lot of students, you know, did their thesis experiments at LAMF. It was quite a productive facility. But then a lot of the people who grew up out of the facility joined the mainstream parts of the lab doing other research. So it was a very successful thing to have this basic research alongside of the lab's primary mission. And, in fact, that's how I got involved in the work I'm doing today, or I'm going to talk about today.
So how did that spring from the work that you were doing then, work you're doing today?
In the early 90s, my wife was working in a group that worked at a facility called WNR, which is a Weapons Neutron Research Facility, which was part of Lance. It was kind of off to the side. And so I had social contact between people doing weapons work. And at a party, one of my coworkers explained to me that he was trying to find a way to use neutrons to do radiography. And I had just built an instrument to measure neutral pions, and the instrument itself was a position-sensitive detector that I thought might be very useful for imaging neutrons. And so we got together and we built a neutron imaging system, and that way I became acquainted with a new need in the weapons program for new tools to be able to certify weapons without doing underground testing like people had done in the early 90s.
Right, and which was then banned.
And so we got some support, and this developed into the topic I'm going to talk about, which is charged particle radiography, using the proton beam from the same accelerator, but now to radiograph systems of metal that are driven by explosions or explosions themselves.
Now, let's say that you are using this type of radiography to try to detect, I mean, as you talk about, as is mentioned in the title, nuclear contraband. How does that work? And how is it a superior technology to what we had before?
Well, what we discovered was that we could use charged particles to make very short exposure time pictures of explosions. And the phenomena we used with these charged particles was we measured their scattering when they went through material, Coulomb scattering, which is scattering off of the charges. While we were doing that, we were thinking, well, what other things can we do using this technique of charged particle scattering? One of the things was to use muons. So we talked about pions a second ago. Pions are these particles that bind a nucleus together. They have a lifetime. Their lifetime is quite short. It's 26 billionths of a second. When they decay, they make a particle called a muon. And a muon is a different kind of particle. It has no nuclear interaction, only the charge interaction, the Coulomb interaction. And our thought was, well, if we could do radiography with these muons, we could do radiography of objects with lower doses and no damage, no activation of the objects. This might be useful.
Whereas other kinds of radiography can damage, especially if it's a human being
or a living thing, and especially our protons cause nuclear interactions and make things radioactive.
Right.
And the things we blow up, we don't care about that so much. I mean, it's not that radioactive, and we dispose of the stuff as radioactive material. But if you want to if you wanted to certify nuclear weapons statically, just look inside of them, you'd really like not to do much more damage to them than you have to. So we were thinking about that when 9/11 occurred. After 9/11, people became very concerned, and rightfully so. They had been before, but it became a topic of much concern about nuclear counterband, the possibility of terrorists importing a nuclear weapon rather than just conventional weapons into a major U.S. city. We thought these muons might be especially useful for looking inside of cargo containers and trucks with people in them to look for nuclear weapons. And the kind of muons we propose to use for that are cosmic ray muons. So the Earth is constantly bombarded with cosmic rays. And the same kind of reactions that I studied using particle beams in Los Alamos are what produce the cosmic rays that reach the Earth. Very energetic protons hit the upper atmosphere, and they cause nuclear reactions, which release pions, which decay into muons. Those muons are most of the cosmic rays that arrive at the surface of the Earth. And so what we did was take this technology of using proton beams to radiograph things and applied to using these cosmic ray muons to radiograph things.
And is it functional?
Oh, yeah, it's really rather neat. I mean, it's taken years of people being very skeptical, but by using this Coulomb scattering of the muons, we found that in about a minute's time, you can take pictures of something like a cargo container or a car and see anything that might be a nuclear threat inside of it.
Can you set one of these up on a bridge?
Probably. It takes about a minute. So,
oh, so they'd have to be stopped. So you set it up at a... So nah, not even a toll booth.
A toll booth, a border crossing point.
Yeah.
So there's a company in San Diego who's now commercializing this technology for things like look for examining cargo containers. And it's nice. The technique works much better than anything else that anybody has come up with. So it actually works.
We're talking to Chris Morris, nuclear physicist from Los Alamos. So you are also doing something which involves making explosions and making short films of them, which is also a new thing.
Yeah, we use the... So our original idea with proton radiography was that when you radiograph an object, two things have to happen. Some of the particles that hit the front of the object have to get removed, but some have to come out the backside. And so if you try to radiograph an object with something that doesn't interact at all in it, you don't learn anything. And if every particle interacts, you don't learn anything either, because nothing comes out the backside. So there's an optimal place in the middle. So when our original idea with proton radiography was the mean free path of protons going through an object is longer than the mean free path that you can get with X-rays. And so for looking for thick objects, protons are ideal. And so we started studying proton radiography for a mission which is called hydro testing. And it's the mission that occurs in Los Alamos now using a machine called the DART machine, which is comprised of two of the most powerful X-ray machines that have ever been built. As we studied protons further, we verified that they could do that mission and they could do it better than X-rays. And in the future, they might be used instead of X-rays. They are used instead of X-rays in Russia now. But we also discovered that we could use the Coulomb interaction of these protons to radiograph anything from something as thick as a piece of paper to something as thick as one of these hydro tests. And so we have a big mission in Los Alamos where the energy of the machine isn't high enough for this hydro test mission to do science experiments, radiographing explosions and explosively driven pieces of metal using these protons.
So tonight you will be probably using some images as well to make this clear to our students and adults who are listening to watching your program.
Well, my thought with tonight was what I would like to do tonight is to try and show the students that kind of two things. One is a lot of these science experiments are really simple things. So I'm going to try and redo some of the experiments, like Rankine's experiment, at least show how it worked, and Marie Curie's experiment. And I'm going to show that there are cosmic rays, and cosmic rays go through stuff with some experimental demonstrations. And I would really like to explain how much fun it is to figure out how to do something new that nobody's done before. Which this radiography has really been for me. It's been, you know, it's been a lot of fun. And so I'd like to convey the fact that, one, science can be very obscure and all of a sudden can become a very useful thing.
Right.
And it's a kind of an important useful thing. I mean, this time around, you know, late 1800s and early 1900s was a hugely blossoming time for at least us people in the Western world. And when you look around you and you see light bulbs and all the cell phones and radios, this is all stuff that came out of this very obscure science that nobody ever thought would be practical when it was first discovered and studied.
Chris Morris is an experimental nuclear physicist. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you very much.